Father, we're running into your arms today because there is nothing that can take your place. And your love will always be enough. I ask for open hearts to hear that very message in this room this morning. And I ask that in your son's name. Amen. Okay, announcements. Next Wednesday, we have our fellowship. Your small group leader will be talking to you about that. Just a reminder. And then the welcoming committee, this is really for covenant members. The welcoming committee has asked that we put out a little advertisement. They need more people, and it's very easy. You just do one shift a month. It's for 30 minutes, and basically all you have to do is stand out there and say hi to people. So, you know, it's kind of nice. You get here a little bit early. You start losing all the distractions of the day, get settled into welcoming your brothers and sisters in Christ before you go into the service. So consider that, and if you want to do it, contact Hayden Spencer or Donna Thomas to sign up. That's at the bottom. I kind of put that in the wrong order. And then if you jump back up, the Visions Luncheon is October 17th, which is next Tuesday at 11:45, and Charlie Betts will be talking about the Austin History Center and sharing some stories that make Austin unique. Is that something that we need to make reservations for? Who is Judy? Okay. Call the office? Or Sue will take reservations. It sounds like it'll be really fun. If you don't know him, he's a good guy. Okay. We have a story this morning. Okay, I have to tell y'all something. I heard from some leaders last week that you all missed hearing a story last week. Well, I hope that's putting something on your heart to get up here and share. Donna Thomas is going to share with us this morning.
Good morning. I'm not good at this, so I'll just take this. But this lesson really spoke to my heart. Oh, my goodness. I love your neighbor. And I really think I do. I mean, I really... love people. That's why I'm on the greeting committee, and we need y'all. But anyway, a couple weeks ago, I was diagnosed with sleep apnea, and so I had to get a PAP machine. And so I got a call from a man who was going to come deliver it to my house. And so he was a little late, and so I was just walking to by the window, and I looked out, and I saw the car pull up, and I saw him get out. And this fear, I just went, it was based on his appearance, and it was a little fearful for me. He was a large man, and he looked like a biker type deal. So anyway, I went to so I called down the stairs, Steve, come up. And I just thought I wanted Steve in there when he, you know, came in. Anyway, Steve's a little slow in movement. So anyway, came to the door, and so I went in and, introduced himself, and I said, hi, and he just walked in and he went, wow, this is the nicest house I've been in since I've moved here. And that was a little embarrassing, but I said, which is truthful, and I always say, thank you so much, we are so blessed. And he just went, blessed? That is the best word. Oh, my gosh, how wonderful. Are you a Christian? And I said, well, yes, I am. And so, anyway, I could go on and belabor. But we sat down. He told me his whole story. Then Steve finally walked in. And I'm like, oh, this is my husband. So, anyway, he started talking. And, you know, he kind of had jewelry on and stuff, and he started telling me he just moved here. His wife was in the valley. Okay, I'm getting too long. But anyway, he just told me why he's here. He's lost the company. He didn't have a job anymore, and so he got an apartment. And he was here, and his mission was to minister to the bridge people. I mean, the people that, you know, homeless. And he really was a little frightening looking. And he said, you know, I was a biker once. And I'm like, oh. And he said, I used my beard. He had a beard. He said it was down to here, and my hair was all this. And then before it was over, he said, just wait a minute. I got to go to the car and get pictures of my family. And he came in, and he said, you see this ring? And I said, yes. I mean, it was this huge ring, and it had 13 on it. It made just 1-3. And he said, you know what this means? And I said, no. And he said, that's Christ and the 12 disciples. And I mean, the whole thing was I based everything on his appearance. Y'all, that is just so wrong. His heart was so tender, and we just sat there and sat there. The good news was, you know, I made a new friend. The bad news was I never learned how to work my pap machine. He had to leave. But the whole thing is loving as God would love. And it's these people's hearts. And he told me, and this was what I did want to share. He said, bikers are the nicest people you'll ever want to meet. Now, I didn't ask him about Hell's Angels. I don't know if that's different, if there's a difference. But he said, if you ever are in trouble or anything, the biker will be the first to stop and offer you aid. And I thought that was such a lesson. I thought to share that. But anyway, it was just very humbling to me. And I realized I don't love. It's through a glass darkly or something. I let that appearance and that fear take over kind of loving everyone. So anyway, just going to share that. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Donna. What a great story, because it was the biker who started sharing the story. And then Donna is able to come and share that story with us. So you just never know. Just be open. Yeah. Oh, how sweet is that? So he asked Donna if they could pray before he left. And they held hands and they prayed for each other. What a beautiful story. What a beautiful story. Thanks, Donna. Okay, before I start on the lecture today, I want to go real quickly over applications. I am a person who will constantly be asking, what is your application? What is your application? What is your application? I think the leaders get tired of hearing it, but there's a reason that I do it. The application is what takes what we are reading and puts it in our heart, and it causes us to make changes. I told y'all when I was up here a couple of weeks ago that I had a really long, dark period in my life. And during that time, I was going to church. I was going to a Bible study. I was even teaching a Sunday school class. And I don't think I've ever been further from God in my life. And it's a prime example, because what I was doing is I was filling my head with all of the knowledge, but I was refusing to put it in my heart. And it wasn't until I started putting those words into my heart that I was able to change the things that I needed to change and restore that relationship. So for me, it has been so profound that I am constantly talking about it. So how do we do applications? This is probably going to be the thing that's going to be the most difficult for you every week in your lesson, because it is personal. And it usually is at some cost to you, whether it's a changed behavior. Maybe you're going to have to take some extra time to do something for someone, but it's going to be an action. And so the important thing when we do these applications is it needs to be very specific to you. What is speaking to you in this section? No one in your room will have the same application. You may have some similar ones, but they're not going to be exactly the same. So it's personal to you. It's something specific. You can set a date. You can set a time. You can set an action, any of those things, but it needs to be specific, something that you can follow through on. And it needs to have some kind of a deadline, ladies, because if it doesn't, we'll just keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And the reason that we share these applications is because we need to be held accountable. This is in everything in life. aren't you more successful if you share what you're planning on doing with someone else? Just so that person can say, hey, how's that going? And you can say, yeah, or you're right, I need to get on that. So that's why we do this in these groups. Now, there are going to be times when you're going to come up with an application that may just not feel like something that you want to share really deeply about. That's okay, too. Just say, my application is to contact someone that I've had a falling out with. You don't have to have a name. You don't have to tell them what happened. Just that. And you can say, I'm going to, by the end of the week, I am going to fill in the blank. Email, text, call, stop by, whatever, and see this person and start making amends. That is an application. And then when you share that with your group, someone, hopefully, will come back to you at some point and say, I've been praying about you, because we need to pray about people with their applications, and I want to know, how did it go? Have you had the opportunity to do it yet? Because that is what is going to take God's word and completely transform it in our lives. Now, there are going to be times when, and today's lesson was a pretty good example, when it seems kind of vague and it seems kind of like hard, you know, it's all about God's love. Well, how am I going to put that into an application? Well, trust me, you can. Read through those verses. Find what sticks out to you. And then your application can be to focus on that for the whole week. You can say, I'm going to take 10 minutes every day this week and I'm going to meditate on that verse. So do you see how that can be an application? It's, you're still doing something. So just real quickly, I wanted to give y'all something. So I took the reflection question today. Love can be shared both as a feeling, as an action. How do you love people who are hard to love? And I sort of turned that into an application. And because you can do it specific, you can do it measurable, you can do it in an action. So what I would say is, who is that hard person to love? There's your first thing. In your mind, someone is going to come to you. How can I take that person and show them love this week? Okay, well, you're going to come up with something, whether it's calling them, visiting them, praying about them. Maybe it's too tender a situation to step into yet. You can pray about them. And then when will you do it? I'm going to do it Thursday. I'm going to do it this afternoon. If I'm praying about it, I'm going to pray about them every day. So do you see what these steps do, how they can put this word into action? Everybody nod yes. Okay. I'm going to trust that y'all are understanding what I'm saying. If you don't, please come and talk to me about it. I'm really on fire about these applications because I've seen the transformation in my own life, and I want you all to feel it too. Okay, are y'all ready to start the lesson, finally? Here's my really good outline. I'll give y'all a few minutes so you can write it down. So, does it feel like we've had this lesson already? I can tell you, 2 weeks ago when I was standing up here, we were talking about false teachings and love. It's not a case of John running out of things to talk about. He still has plenty to share with us. But what he's going to do is he's going to take these two topics and he's going to break them down for us even more because they are so important. So we'll start with this first section about the false teachers. And what I want to begin with is to put us in the right sort of frame of mind when we're reading this because it makes a big difference. So when John was writing these letters, the New Testament had not been written. People were starting to write it, but it hadn't been written. We can now take the Bible, open it up, and read these things, but at that time they couldn't. It was still word of mouth. And what was happening to spread the word was prophets were coming from all different cities to share the news. Well, every single one of them thought they knew something that was better than the person before them, right? So sort of some inside knowledge. So basically what John is doing in this is telling them, do not be fooled by everything you hear. Remember, this letter is being written because the church has been divided by some false teachings. So since they didn't have the Bible to open up and look at, they had to figure something out. So what is a false prophet? There are only two kinds of spirits that go to prophets. That is the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Antichrist. The Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit, and that's the Spirit of truth. The Antichrist is the devil who denies Jesus and opposes all of Jesus' work. So, how can a believer know when a preacher was from God and that the message could be trusted? Satan is an imitator. He can be very sneaky. He can come in and have 95% truth and slip in that little lie that changes the entire message. So we have to be on guard for it. And it sounds kind of scary when you think about it that way. But there's a really easy test, and it is black and white. It is yes and no. It is as applicable today as it was for them back then. And what you have to ask is, what is the message about Jesus Christ? Is the message that he has come in the flesh, that he is God incarnate? If it is, then they're speaking the truth. Because Jesus is truly the divine Christ. He is fully human and fully divine. And if they're not saying that, then they are not Christians. And doesn't this happen still today? People will acknowledge Jesus. They will acknowledge that he existed, that he walked on the earth. They will say he was a fabulous teacher, or they'll even say he was a really good prophet. But then they stop. They don't take that next step that we take as Christians. And that next step is, Jesus is God in human form, who came to sacrifice his life and save us from our sin. So that's pretty black and white. Now, the only way to really know a lie is to know the truth. Think about that. I could stand up here and I can tell y'all that my eyes are blue. Now, the people who are listening online can believe that. They've never met me. They've never seen me. Why would I lie about what color my eyes are? But y'all can see me, and you can see that my eyes are very clearly brown. Now, I know that's kind of a really simplistic way to explain this, but you know the truth because you can look at me. People who aren't looking at me don't know the truth, so they have to find out if I'm telling the truth or not. So what we have to do is we have to study to know what's real, so then we can detect what is a lie. That's why it's so important for us to study God's Word. His Word, without additions, without subtractions, is the truth. And that is what you will hear from Christians. And as children of God, we will know that truth when we know His Word, when we've studied it, when we've learned it, when we can go, wait a minute, I don't think what you said is right. We can go to that book, and we can open it up, and we can look, and we can see for ourselves if it's right or if it's not right. Teachers sent by God will speak the truth. Satan and his workers will speak from worldly wisdom. He's a divider, and he's a destroyer. So which spirit's going to win? Well, in verses 4 through 6, John assures us that the Holy Spirit of God is more powerful than the spirit of the Antichrist. So isn't that a sweet little thing to tell us after we've gotten all stirred up about, oh my gosh, am I going to believe the right thing? He says, it's okay. We win this one. God wins this one. God has already won this one. And I just love how comforting that is. And so as they dealt with the presence of false teaching, We will have to do that too. But John reminds us all in verse 4 that the victory belongs to us. He also prepares us with the knowledge that the message of false prophets is going to be out there. So just be prepared for it. He's just like, here's your heads up. It's going to be there. Start listening for it. Okay, so that's false prophets. Now we're going to go on to 7 through 21, which I call the splendor of God's love. Let's go back to what we've learned about love so far, because as I said, this is not the first time in this book that we've heard about this. From chapter 1, we have that love for our brothers that is fellowship with God. If we don't love others, we cannot love God. That's in 2, 7 through 11. It says that love for our brothers is a matter of light or darkness. Then in chapter 3, 10 through 14, love is presented as a proof of sonship, which for us is a matter of life and death. So now we're coming to this third mention of love in verses 7 through 16, and it's going to get down to the very heart of the matter. We're going to discover why love is such an important part of our lives. Love is a valid test of our fellowship and our sonship because God is love. Love is foundational to our lives as children of God. Love is part of the very being and nature of God. God cannot be separated from love. He is love. It is where love originates. It originates with the divine nature of our Creator. We remember last week we learned that we are united with God through our faith in Christ. You know, Jan talked about our spiritual DNA. We are united with Him. Since God's nature is love, then love is going to be a test for us in our own spiritual nature. Since the nature of God is love, anyone who knows God will respond to God's nature. We will naturally practice love because love is in our DNA from God. This is not going to be a forced response. You're not going to have to make yourself love someone if you are in fellowship with God and connected to Him with love. It's going to be a natural response. A believer's love for other people is going to be his own personal proof of his sonship and his fellowship with God. That's the definition of true Christian love. Our motivation to love others naturally springing from the great love, the divine love that is shown to us by our Father. It's not enough to know that God is love. We believers must daily rest in the presence of His love. When we do, and we have that on our hearts, we can go out and just open our hearts. We don't have to make ourselves do anything. We just open our hearts and it comes out. Now, the world doesn't believe this. They don't believe that God is love. I'm hearing more and more in this day and age with everything that's happening. If God is love, what is going on? Why is He not stopping this? Why is He allowing these things to happen? Well, what we know, that's a whole nother lecture. I'm sorry if you're expecting an answer. You're not going to get it. But what we know is that God's love for us is so deep that He sent His Son to die for us. He's not going to do that if He's not love, right? He loved us, so we must also love one another. Now, no one in this world can see God, but through God's children, they can get glimpses of Him. They can get glimpses of His love, and that's our responsibility. We don't conjure it up. We couldn't if we tried. He put it in us. It's in us in the Holy Spirit, and that is what's going to come out of us. We will become reflections of His love when we allow the Holy Spirit to enter our hearts. As Christians, we do not love each other because we're so perfect. It's quite the opposite. We love each other in spite of all the things that drive us crazy about each other. That is what God's love is. And that will not be a hard thing to do when you get yourself in the right place in relationship with God's love. So that's a lot of love, 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 right? I'm sure this doesn't sound new to anybody. I'm sure you've been hearing this most of your life, right? Is it something that you have accepted and that you carry within yourself every day? Here's what I know. This life is all about love. Jesus boiled it down. Love God and love people. That's what he told us. That's what we're here for. So let me tell you about how this has applied to me. This summer, I spent a lot of time thinking about God's love for me. I realized that even though I know from studying God's word that he loves me, I don't always feel it. I can't always translate it into my life or show it to other people. And since 1 John 4:19 says we love God, because he first loved us, we need to pay attention to that. Living for heaven starts with letting God love us. That sounds so simple, doesn't it? But what I discovered when I started thinking about it was that letting God love me was sometimes a really difficult thing for me to do. I've gone through parts of my life where I felt condemned and I felt unlovable. I often look at my past failures and assume that my Heavenly Father is disappointed in me. And I'm sure I'm not the only person in this room who's felt that way. Because isn't that what we do? Don't we default to our own human nature? Look through our human eyes, our human perspective. We know what it feels like to be disappointed. It just makes sense that we would think God would be disappointed in us. Has anyone in your life ever been able to demonstrate the completely unconditional, unchanging love of the Father? I'll answer the question for you. The answer is no. We can't because we're human. But in God's reality, which is the only reality that should matter to us, he has so faithfully and so overwhelmingly loved me that I should never question it. He sent his son to die for me so that I could be redeemed. The truth is, he loves me just as I am, with all my faults, with all my failures. My past does not define me with God. My sins, when I confess them, are forgiven, and I can be healed and I can be transformed. So how in the world can I have this struggle? How can I do anything other than love? But for me, sometimes it is a struggle. So this summer, I had an experience that really changed my perspective in ways that are overwhelming. Now, y'all have already heard me talk about my grandchildren, and I will promise you I'm not going to talk about them every single time I get up here. But if you will humor me today, it's a story that involves my grandchild that really showed me about this. Okay. So I try and see my daughter. She's about 2 hours from here. I try and see her and her two kids at least once a month. But this summer, I just was, I don't know, looking back, I can't imagine what kept me busy and away from them. But for some reason, I was. And it was about 6 weeks before I got back to see them. Well, I got there, and Cooper was so happy. He came running into my arms. And he threw himself around me. And he just said, "Mama, I missed you so much." He wasn't mad at me because I hadn't been there. He didn't say, "What's the deal? Am I not important to you?" None of that. It was just pure joy and excitement that I was there then. We both were just laughing, you know, and just hugging each other. It was just amazing. He grabbed my face, you know, got right in my face and put his face right up against mine. He said, "Mama, I love you." And this really went on for most of that day. He could not get away from me. He was by me. He was on top of me. We were just laughing, just in pure joy. I couldn't stop smiling, and he couldn't stop smiling. It was just an overwhelming feeling for me to be the recipient of this pure childlike love and attention. He didn't want anything from me. He just wanted me to be with him. So we stayed for a couple of days and had a great time. And when I got home, I found myself going back to that memory because it would just lift me up and it would just fill me with joy to remember that. And then one day when I was doing that, I heard very clearly, "Now do you understand my love?" Well, it shook me, but only for a second, because then I was just flooded with that feeling again. I thought, oh my gosh, this is how he feels about me. This is what he wants from me. It was just, he had used my love language, my family, to demonstrate what I had been so reluctant to accept. So remember that refrain from this morning? I'm running to your arms. I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign. I mean, it's just perfect for this. It sums it up. Our Father wants us. He wants our love to be like that. He wants it uninhibited. He wants it reckless. He wants it lifelike. He wants us to love him with pure abandon. He wants us to run into his arms. No matter what we've done, no matter how long we've been away, it doesn't matter. Go back to him. Throw yourselves around him. Say, "Daddy, I missed you so much." He wants us to look at him, and he wants us to say, "I love you." That's what he delights in. That's what it means when we talk about God's love and what's in us. And there's more to this, because I can tell you that because of my delight in Cooper's reaction, it spoke to me to God's delight in me. He tells us over and over again in Scripture that he delights in us. Google it. Look it up. There's a lot of Scripture in there. I believe that he is delighted in me when I run into his arms, when I confess whatever needs to be confessed, and I just go just to love him, just to be with him without an agenda, just to be in his presence. And he wants me to do it daily. He doesn't get mad if I don't. He doesn't get mad if I've been away. He rejoices when I come back. That's the feeling that I experienced when I was with Cooper that day. He reminded me of what my Father deserves from me. He deserves to be loved by me to the point that I don't want to do anything else. I don't care about anything else. I just want to be with him. So if we will simply be people who let God love us every moment, we will naturally become people who love others in return. God's love is unconditional and it's unchanging. We will love because he first loved us. The love of God is so real, so powerful, so transformational that it will take us and it will mold us, it will shape us, it will change us into people who no longer live for the cares of this world, but instead live first for his love and then in turn to love others. So now when I find myself feeling a little distant or a little unloved, I have this gift that I can go back to. I can go back and remember that day with Cooper. But what's changed is it's not about me and Cooper anymore. When I think about it, it instantly takes me back to that feeling of being loved by my Father and loving him. And that has just been such a gift to me. So love can become the foundation of all we do and all we are, all we hold on to. If we focus on love and allow the Holy Spirit to strip everything else away, we will be left with a life that's rooted in face-to-face relationship with our Heavenly Father and bound in love. So I want to try something with you all this morning. I want you to put down anything that you're holding on to, stop writing, anything that might be distracting to you. And I want you to close your eyes. Take a couple of deep breaths. And I want you to just try and let the worries of today slip away. Now I want you to go back and think of a time when you felt truly loved. For some of you, this is going to be easy and something's going to pop instantly into your head. And for others, this may be difficult and this may be painful. And you may have to go a lot further back. That's okay. Just do it. And if you're sitting here and you're in a place that you cannot think of a time when you felt loved, then I want you just to start praying to the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to let you feel God's love right now, right in this moment. I want you just to enjoy that feeling. Maybe you're thinking about the love of a parent or a grandparent. Maybe you have a friend or a group of friends that when you're with, you just feel loved. Maybe you are by yourself and you're walking somewhere in nature and you're recognizing that love. Just soak it in. Really try and experience that love again. And notice what you're feeling. Is it peaceful? Maybe it just makes you giddy. It makes you want to laugh. Maybe you just smile. So hold on to that feeling and open your eyes. Here's what I think. I think that we are all given these little glimpses of God and His love every single day in our life, and we're just not used to looking at them and recognizing them. He shows us how He feels constantly. What you're remembering is not that pure love from God, but it's enough of it to make you want it, isn't it? It reminds us what's possible when we look to Him. And hopefully, it makes you yearn for it, because the only pure joy that we are ever going to know is through Him. So this should help draw you closer. So when you're feeling distant, when you're feeling unloved, try and remember that time you just thought of. And maybe other times will come to you. And let it draw you in, not as a happiness here on earth, but as something that is reflecting the love of God and reflecting the relationship that He wants to have with you. Respond to God's love with your own affections. Tell Him how you feel in His presence. Thank Him for all that He's done for you. Rest in the simple truth that God loves you and all He wants is your heart. Open up those places in your heart that are broken and wounded and cause you pain. Let God replace those feelings with His unconditional love. And as we allow God to do that, our natural response is going to be to let that love go back out. And remember back from the first chapter, when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess to God and just remember that we love Him because He loved us first. This cycle of giving and receiving love is what we have been created for. As we receive his love, we will then turn around and give it back out. So I encourage you to spend some time this week just looking at how simple that is. Look at the simplicity and the completeness of God's love. Open your heart. Ask him to come in and love you. Ask him to wake you up to feel that love today. And make a commitment to pursue love in all that you do. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to love those people that are so hard to love. Ask him to let love be your motivation in everything that you think, feel, and do. We can all be transformed by this truth. The truth that what God desires most from us is simply to love him with a love that comes from him, and then turn around and share that love. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, I ask you today to just fill us with a fresh revelation of God's love. Let God's love cast out any fear and loneliness that we feel. Reveal your heart so that everything we do today will be a reflection of your love for us. Help us to go out boldly, knowing that we love because you first loved us. And I pray this confidently in the name of your Son, our Messiah, who is both fully human and fully divine. Amen.